So that they can be discipled. promise to meet someone who's fresh in the Lord and just need to think for themselves and try to figure everything out for themselves. And okay, so we believe in the church planting, and the church is the vehicle that the Lord instituted to basically raise us up for the Now, this morning I just wanted to share a bit about decision making. It sounds like a game show. Last week was something like a reality program, Movement S, for those of you there. And if you were there last week, that's immediately you can keep moving to the house of opposite group, the Lord is good. But I think that certainly is unlikely from last week. So if you were there last week, you might have a little bit more about the journey that I traveled and that the Lord saved me from. That certainly should be on by tomorrow afternoon. Today we're talking about the whole thing of decision making, and that our lives actually are a sequence, the result of a sequence of decisions that we have made.
Is that true? Still picking up. So
I mean, you don't do anything, you don't lift a finger unless you have decided to do so. Okay, well, some things you taught yourself when you were young, like depression, or just automatically in your dead time, and you don't have to pretty much talk to it today. But nevertheless, I'm pretty sure you weren't aware of it, and you still took a decision around that. So everything that we do in life is as a result and a sequence of the decisions that we have made. I don't know what decisions you face now. I'm sure many of us have seen this thing in the Bible. Praise God that you have God to help us make the right decisions. Changing career, starting something, starting a year with children, getting out of school. Have you ever heard me up to now? Probably not even a speaker of my mind. But that is really a place where God supernaturally helps us to cut out the distractions when we fast. Something spiritual and supernatural that happens that enables us to draw closer to God, to hear it clearer. Some will say, well, they actually realize the whole and the dependence that they have on food, and obviously the Lord understands that we are dependent on food, but you can go without food for a few days and see what happens. Not just starving yourself when you're doing deliberately to draw nearer to God. That is called fasting. Sacrificing something in the area of your food or all of your food, or you can do like a Daniel fast, or just do the fruits and the veggies. And the normal fast would be foregoing all your food, and you can get an absolute fast, where you forego all food and liquid. I wouldn't advise that beyond 3 days. And the normal fast, where you just forego your food, and you start taking water before you embark on something like this. But it is a spiritual discipline that the Lord expects of us. And I want to just encourage you, just kind of a little nugget at the outset here, when it comes to making big decisions, fasting will help you to hear and choose the right way. So, Joel chapter 3, verse 14. Now Joel prophesies that multitudes will be in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, he's also referring to the end times. Joel prophesies in the last days that the young men will see visions and the old men will dream dreams, and the Spirit of the Lord will be poured out on the flesh. There will be multitudes in the valley of decision. And the day of the Lord will be at hand. Many will be undecided whether they are following the Lord or not. Hopefully we are amongst the sheep and not the goats when the Lord arrives. I believe obviously that every one of us that has acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and received Him as our Savior, that we will obviously be amongst the sheep. And so this is not talking about us. But right now, as I've mentioned, there are over 2 billion that don't know the Lord yet. There will be multitudes in the valley of decision. In our lives, I mentioned that the result outwardly, how our lives work out, is as a result of the decisions that we have taken. But there's one decision. One decision that will not only affect your life in the here and now on earth, that will determine where you spend an eternity. And you only have this life that you are living in here on earth in which to make that decision. That is what you decide about who the Lord Jesus Christ is to you. That one decision is the biggest decision. If you take no other decisions, if you empathetic about every other decision, that is the one decision that you need to make in order to be successful when it comes down to it. That is what you decide about Jesus and who He is. And we only have until the Lord comes back to make that decision, or until you breathe your last, whichever one comes first. So we might be thinking, oh, well, I'm still young, I've got another 51 years, I can put this off, I can procrastinate a little longer now, because the Lord could come back tonight. As I said, He could decide, time's up. He's done that before. He can decide, time's up. I give everyone a revelation of my life, right now, in their hearts, and I'm coming back. Because now I want my family with me. Because God is a father, He wants His children with Him, and His children aren't with Him yet. Judgment Day has come. And God, He's patient, He's very patient, because this was His plan from the beginning, to have His own people, to have us with Him in His full glory, where we can worship Him with the angels, and He's been so patient for 6,000 plus years. Patient. So we don't know. What if God decides today is the day? I want my people with me now. So the church is taking too long. And as far as Israel is interfering, just joking. And so there we go. Revelation time. And judgment day is here, the valley of decision. So that all-important decision, if we go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death. This is what the Lord says to us. This is true for us today as well. Blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. Now the Bible and the Word of God is always timely because it is timeless. And that is true for us today. The Lord holds that decision before each of us. In fact, it filters down to the smallest decisions that we take on a day-to-day basis. Choose life. One could argue even if you choose not to brush your teeth tonight, then you have not chosen life for your teeth or long life. Everything, life and death. Sin, when it's full blown, leads to death. Everything that is not of God is sin. Everything that doesn't hit the perfect mark that God has set for your life is sin. Everything that is not of faith is sin. You see, we sin a lot. All of us. Yes, the Lord is gracious, but he doesn't want us to become comfortable in our sin. He wants us, like David says, to hold it before us so that we can ask him to help us with it. It's not a place where God says, like, you sort it out yourself. But he wants us to ask him to help us with it. Choose life. Choose God. The Lord is your life. As I said, we want to distill this a bit more. We turn to the New Testament. If you want to interpret the Old Testament correctly, one of the golden rules is you filter it and you funnel it through the cross. See the outworking in the New Testament. The Old Testament is valid. There's a shadow of the New Testament. Besides the fact that it's the history and then the prophecies and the poetry and David in the Psalms and all of that, you filter it through the cross. Okay, and there's still so many universal principles that one can take straight out of the Old Testament. But going to the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say I am? He asks him, and who do you say? Because the people were talking about, you know, who is a great prophet and is a teacher from God and this and this. What about you? He asked, who do you say? Simon Peter answered, he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the promised one of God. You are the one sent to save us. You are the Son of God. It is you, it is you. Everything, the whole of creation has been waiting for you. For you to come. For this time, it is all about you. And a few verses on, and Jesus speaks about his crucifixion. But then, verse 24, with Simon Peter kind of just misses something, but then Jesus replies and says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. He's saying, guys, yes, I'm going to the cross, but for everyone who follows me, there is a cross. There's a cross that you will have to bear. There's a portion of suffering. If you're going to be my man, it's not going to be easy for you to follow me in this world. Because it's kind of uncomfortable for people around you. And they will resist and they'll push and they'll prod. If you want to really come after me, if you really want to go with me all the way and never leave me, well, you're going to have to lay down some of your own comforts. You're going to have to get out of that comfort zone. You're going to have to be prepared to take some risks. You're going to have to face some challenges. You're going to have to deny yourself. It's not always going to be that good to do the right thing in following me, but there's a cross for you. Take it up. Other translations say, take it up daily. This is a crucial decision that we all have to take, and it's one that we have to consider on a daily basis. receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, as your Master, as the Lord of your life, the one that you defer to, the one that you give control to. And that is a daily decision. So it involves cooperating with the Lord and continuing to cooperate with the Lord. The word says that we are being saved. We need to continue to cooperate. Doesn't help if we cooperated with the Lord last year. We need to keep on cooperating with the Lord. So let's distill that a little bit further. Paul is teaching us as followers of Jesus what it means practically in our lives as well. In Romans, not Romans, yes Romans, in chapter 12. Verse 1. Therefore I urge you, he's pleading, not just for the Roman Christians, he's talking to you and me here today. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. I urge you, he's pleading, he's on his knees, he's begging us, saying, please, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your reasonable service, this is what is pleasing to God, this is what is proper worship. That means bringing glory to God through everything in your life. That means aiming at the mark that God has set. That means on a daily basis, making sure you know where the mark is, what it is, and what it means. Taking up your cross daily, cooperating daily, making the Lord Jesus master of your life, giving him control on a daily basis. In every decision you take, are you acknowledging the Lord in that? And Afrikaans praat van, jy ken iemand in another state. You inform them, you invite them to give you input in a decision, and you keep them updated. And this is what we must do with the Lord. And when he says, because he's given us wisdom, he's taught us some things over the years. And so he's taught you how to do something, and the next time you come across something, you know how to do it. But still, in on God, acknowledging in that decision that you're about to make, because maybe he wants you to do it a bit different this time. You see, we can't purely rely on yesterday's revelation. The Lord also wants to give us something fresh. He's so creative. He can do the same thing in a million different ways to us. He wants us to be dependent upon him. That's why he wants that intimacy, he wants that communication, he wants us to come to him. Not just for the big stuff, the little stuff as well. He's a God of detail. If you go and look at under a microscope at some of the smallest things that, organisms and cells and whatever, and you can see the little mitochondria and ATP working there and bringing forth life and so on. These little engineering systems that God created. He's a God of detail. He could have done everything in big Duplo Lego chunks, but he's gone for the little stuff. He's a God of detail. He wants you to include him even in the small decisions. Doesn't mean you have to fast about brushing your teeth with Colgate or Mentimeter. I tried Mentimeter again like a year ago or something. I still remember it wasn't fast. But he asks, as he says, ask for rain in the time of that rain. So he's saying, even if it's something obvious you expect, it's July and it's going to rain outside, And, you know, I need rain today, and so it's just going to happen. I can just, you know, carry on with my other stuff. He still wants you to ask for it, even if everything is set up in the natural. God is behind everything. But even if it looks like this thing is definitely going to happen, it's a done deal or whatever, God still wants you to pray about it and talk to him about it. He just wants in on everything. He wants your life. Your whole life he wants it. He doesn't want to be blocked out of part of it. You don't have a room in God's house with a sign on the door that says, keep out, no entry. So Lord, I'll talk to you when you come out into the living room. No, there's like no doors in that house that I'm talking about. God wants in everywhere. God's not... You don't have to be shy about it. Before him. God has seen us naked. And he's not shy. He made us. You don't have to be shy. I've heard about some preachers that they prepare their best sermons sitting on a white throne in the bathroom. You know what I mean? Wherever you can think of it, you can talk to God. You don't have to execute him out of any part of your mind. You can think of him. Knows you inside out. And before we sinned, Adam and Eve were walking around naked. God wasn't shy. You didn't have to be shy. Anyway, not advocating Judaism or anything like that. I'm just saying that you don't have to exclude God out of any decisions in your life. Matthew 22, verse 14 says that. Many are called, but few are chosen. God is pursuing us all the time. Mankind. He's drawing people, but people just kind of veer off the track. And they grab hold of the first thing that they think this will bring the answer. Well, this must be who God is. You know, instead of just continuing to draw near to him and to seek him, as soon as they find plausible explanation that fits within their paradigm and their comfort zone, they go for that. I mean, there's not 100 or 1,000 religions in the world today. There's probably closer to 3 billion religions in the world today because everyone has their own, a God of their own making in their head. You talk to a bunch of unbelievers about what they believe, and you might categorize them as New Agers, maybe atheists and whatever, but they believe something, and each one of them, it's funny how they believe something a little bit differently from the next guy, based on their experiences and their reading of the 50 different books that they've read, which is different from the 50 different books that the atheist next door has read. And that if they had to draw and explain God to you or whatever their belief is, you'll find something a bit different. And it's that road to God that God has us on, and he's drawing us and he's revealing things to us. And people just bite off that road as soon as they find a comfortable idea about who God is. And it will fit in their framework. And people don't like the idea of being accountable in judgment day. They don't like it. But we have this one decision to make and this one life in which to make. Because given that everyone is born naturally into this world and everyone dies. And that life goes by very quickly. Somewhere on that track, you don't know how long your lifespan is, but the Lord knows. And he'll give us a revelation within that time frame. But we still have to make a decision. The Lord is not into mechanical worship. He has given us free will and he doesn't interfere in that. As I said, there's the big decision, but it filters down into everything. The decisions that are pending at the moment in your life, have you spoken to God about it? What is God talking to you about? Maybe something that you weren't considering before, but God is busy laying something new on your heart. Something that that you have to action and take a decision on? Are you hesitating and procrastinating on that? James says, above all, my brothers, do not swear to you by heaven, by earth, by any other thing, but the oath of the let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall into condemnation. And God is not the author of confusion, and God is not confused. God has a plan. God tells us in Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you. He knows the plans and the path that He would like us to walk in this life. And we can be decisive. We do not need to dwell on a decision for weeks and months. We can be decisive. Companies get it right. Sometimes it does take a while because they have to go through different boards and decision makers. And I mean, they say if you want to get a decision done, take it, then don't set up a committee. But God instituted leadership. He's shown us leadership. He's shown us that there is a place of authority. Think of the Roman soldier that came to the war. There's authority, there's an anointing. God instituted leadership in a home, in a family. Otherwise, nothing would get done, at least not as efficiently. Not to say that everyone doesn't have an input. But God differentiates between functions. You can see God has thought this through much better than any human could ever have. And His ways are still above ours. We still won't have it because it's right. But God has a fivefold ministry. He's got the different gifts. He has covered everything. Every possible need, God has made a way to meet that need. Firstly, He wants to do it through the church. That's why He's given gifts to men. That's why He's given callings. And when one man fails, He'll raise up another man. And when that man fails, the Old Testament is a great example of this. Of the kings. But when there was no ruler, when there was no king in Israel, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And what was there? Chaos. We've got to be grateful for our government. Even if it seems as though they squander some money here and there, everywhere, but rather have a government that is maybe even slightly, but not that capable in every area, and then have no government at all. Imagine you take every legal and punitive system out of the nation, government away, and you will be left with chaos. God has instituted authority and order, and He's not confused. And in the same way, God has given us help. When we want to take decisions, it doesn't mean you necessarily have to take the decision all by your lonesome self. There are people you can talk to that can help you, that can advise you. Don't shy away from advice. I want to say godly advice. Seek advice. The Bible says that wisdom is found in the counsel of many. If you take a decision, so go seek those people out, but don't just go to anyone. So get advice, but beware of going to the wrong people. So you want to go to someone that has walked that road before that you are embarking on. You want to go to someone who's successful in the area that you want to take a decision in. Obviously, the first port of call is going to the Lord. And then the Lord has specific people in our lives. Let's not be too proud to ask, and let's not be too shy to ask. Okay, we all need each other. That's what's amazing, and that's a blessing. Of being part of a family and a church family, a spiritual family, is that God wants to help us
to each other. Very important. Many are called, but few are chosen. Your calling, each one of us has a calling that's different, even if we have the same office, scripturally, it's still be different because it's going to impact different people. And your calling will not make it by yourself. God will always use other people around His God. So no one is a highlight. God is about relationship and family. And He wants His children to work together. There's nothing so awesome that warms shall even our hearts when we see our kids playing together, building something together. Because the other half of the time they break up each other's, you know, castles or whatever. But when they work together and they cooperate and they're talking and they're figuring something out together and they're just this small, I mean, that is awesome. And I know God feels the same way even more is when His children can work together. When there can be a community amongst us like that. So James says to us, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And he can talk with authority on that, because look at the next scripture in Matthew chapter 4. These are the third and fourth people that the Lord called to follow him as disciples. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the one that we just read now, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, but preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they took the decision, in brackets, and they left the boat and their father and followed them. Let your yes be yes, James says. Well, his yes was yes, because he stayed with the Lord. I just realized I might be talking about the wrong James, because he was the brother of Jesus. Okay. It's still applicable to us. Let your yes be yes. And there's an example of another James. Sorry, I've got ahead of myself. But there's a great example. Immediately, you don't read, but someone took a decision. Maybe James and John looked at each other. We've never met this guy before, and we're busy here on the boat with our father. But there's something about that guy, and you see him as coming with him, and so. By that, let's go. They took a decision. Not an easy decision. I'm sure the father was like this. You see, Jesus didn't call Zebedee, he called the sons. So the father's maybe like, hey, come on. Just let them finish me. Finish with me first before they come to you. You know, not an easy decision. Have you ever had to distance yourself from someone in your life that was maybe a negative influence? I'm not saying Zebedee was a negative influence, but what I'm saying is relationships are sometimes the biggest challenges. Those are big decisions and difficult decisions to take. When you have to leave someone in order to follow Jesus, because this person is just tempting you in the wrong way the whole time. And that's tough because maybe it's your best friend. We have to ask ourselves what's more important here. Jesus, the rest of the world, okay, I choose Jesus. If your yes be yes, let's be decisive. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. This is what the Lord is after. Each of you should do what you have assigned in your heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The Lord is interested in our hearts. He's interested in our hearts. He's going to allow us to take that final decision. He'll try and help us in the right direction. To put people in our lives and, you know, through His Spirit, direct us. But at every juncture, we can choose to cooperate or not. But ultimately, if you remember Jesus saying to his disciples in Matthew 16, he said, whoever wants to be my disciple, God doesn't force us. He wants us to want him. be my disciple, don't come. Don't bother. I can't teach you. But if you want it, if what you're going to bring, if in following me, if you're going to be cheerful about it, that's what I want. The Lord is looking for someone to reluctantly follow and say, oh, okay, Lord, I'll choose your way. You know, I really want that. I'm going to do you this favor and I'll come with you this time. The Lord doesn't really want that at all. You say, no, 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 there, go that way. There's someone else that can help me, that wants to be with me. So you find that is a key to joy and happiness as well. When we want to, when the Lord gives us instruction, it is always an invitation. The Lord doesn't force himself or his agenda on anyone. And unfortunately, most of the world chooses the wrong way, which is why the Lord's the difference. Most of the world doesn't choose the Lord's way. But for those that choose the Lord's way, and they do it with their whole heart, they love to do the Lord's will. That is a key to joy. Think of the parable of the talents and the Lord leaving them something to work with. The one was reluctant. He buried that talent. The others had to work on it and they multiplied. When the master came back, he said, enter into the joy of the Lord. It's a joyful thing to follow the Lord. But even if you think you're pleasing God, because I just don't want to lose this talent, so I'm just going to bury it, and when the Lord comes back, I'm going to give it back to him. You're reluctant. It's kind of, oh, I have to do this out of necessity. Well, the end result for that chap was the weeping and the gnashing of teeth, not happiness. The Lord loves the cheerful giver. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Paul is urging us. He's saying, wake up, please do that. You'll see. When you follow the Lord, anything you do for the Lord, when you do it with your heart, when you put your heart in, when you want to do that, you'll never regret that. But do something for the Lord half-heartedly and you're probably going to get hurt in the process. And you're probably not going to enjoy it. Because you know, when you do things for the Lord, it's mostly, it's often it's big things, whatever it might be, something that's big, and often that implies hard work. And you're not going to enjoy hard work if your heart's not in it. If you're not looking forward to spending that time with the Lord. Because when you do something for the Lord, you're also doing it with the Lord. He doesn't let you go and do it on your own. He's with you. Every step is inside of you. And you gain a pleasure and joy in doing this thing for the Lord. That is time well spent when you're doing something for the Lord. And I get a joy out of it. I used to tell Charlene, because I had a problem getting home from work, from the church office. Especially in my first 2 years at the church office, that was 2007, 2008. There's always something to do and people to talk to and these kind of things. And then once I mentioned to her, I said, sure, you know, if I hadn't met her, then I would probably like sit at the church office. It wasn't particularly a nice place, like some ground floor basement, small room. Heidelberg Medical Campus. There's hardly any airflow or natural light in there. It's not the best place, but got to spend a lot of time with students and faculty. And there was always a lot to do. A lot of planning, a lot of organizing and events and meeting with students and counseling and all of those things. And I told her, you know, if we hadn't met yet, if I was there, I'd probably learn permanently on the campus. There, in that office I'd make, I'd sleep on the couch or whatever, because I really love doing the Lord's work. The Lord loves a cheerful when you can really put your heart into it, I believe that you'll find such a joy and a reward. Just serve the Lord. That is a joy. And so Isaiah chapter 6 gets a vision of heaven. The Lord asks, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then he's saying, here I am, send me. We've got decisions to make around everything in life. Some we would say are weightier matters than others. But ultimately the Lord is seeking our hearts. And he's searching the earth for people that would serve his purposes. The people that would receive him as the Father that he is to all of us and the King that he is. He's asking us, who will go for him? Who will perform a great commission for me? Who will say yes and choose their calling for me? I want to say yes, Lord. I will go and see you. I want to say that anyway. And I want to encourage you that when you say that, and you mean it, you will never look back, you will never regret. Take a decision for the Lord, obey the Lord, something, even when it's tough, you will not regret it. If you put your heart in it, because that's when you'll see the Lord, and that's when you'll experience it with you in it. When you're not doing it grudgingly or out of necessity, when you feel, no, I have to do this. No, I'm going to do the right thing. You're not going to get a fool of the Lord. It's that attitude that attitude returns an altitude. Someone said that was so true. I just want to ask for me and the band to come forward. And we're just going to close with a song of worship that we have communion together. I'd just like to take a few minutes and then we can just pray together as well. So, let's stand together.
We got married on this song.
just reminded of the parable of the lost son. And I just want to put it out there. Everyone's eyes closed, head bowed. Do you feel that you maybe wandered away from the Father? You know that it's calling you to return. I encourage you to take that decision today. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Now is the time of salvation. You give your heart. Make life different.
Thank you. us and you hate us, for offering up yourself, Lord, and your Son, Jesus, on the cross, Lord, as the ultimate and the final sacrifice for us, Lord. But you loved us so much, Lord, that you died on the cross for us, Lord. And you spilled blood over us, Lord, as the song was sung. You are jealous of us, Lord. You want our attention, Lord. You desire our relationship. Not just a God to rule over us, Father, but to be a father and a friend, Lord. And to walk us through the path, Lord, and to guide us, Lord, in the decision making, Lord. And just to be the you. You're the one who wants to be in the center of it all, Lord. We give it all to you, Father. So today, Lord, we say thank you for being that sacrifice and for being our everything, Father. Thank you for always being the Lord, and thank you for comforting us, Father.
Thank you, Lord, that you can take these elements that symbolize your death, your sacrifice, and everything that you have done for us, so that we may be redeemed.
All the joy that we need, Father. To do everything that you ask of us, Lord. Let us be attentive to your voice, Lord. Let us be careful not to be off the path, Lord.
Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you, Lord. God bless you for your faithfulness. And I'd like to invite you also, if you have any specific prayer requests or like to pray for something specific here this morning, I'd like to pray with you. Otherwise, also, pass my info table to some goodies out there. We're going to give them all back DVDs if you don't have one. Some good finish of the day, of this Sunday.